Playing music with others is such an important part of developing your skills as a budding violinist. But when you're starting out as an adult, I think that's a lot easier said than done. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the benefits of playing with others and how you can seek out or create a community of people that you can play with, even if you're not an advanced violinist and you've just been playing for a few months. Playing with others is one of the most beneficial things that you can do to improve your playing. And for me, as a professional violinist, it represents why I'm in the music field. It's just being able to play with others, sharing music is just one of the most fun things you can really do. It helps you to improve not only your technical playing, your sense of rhythm and time, your musicality, your ensemble skills, just a whole host of things that are super important when we are trying to develop as musicians. It's also super satisfying to be able to hear music with accompaniment or playing as a duet and having another part going. And again, it's just super, super fun. It's like the most fun part of playing music, for me at least, is playing with other people. The problem though, which I'm sure you already are aware of if you're a beginner violinist, there's really a lack of opportunities to be playing with others and a lack of formal avenues to do that if you don't have a certain level already. The other problem is you might not know any violinists in your entourage. They're out there. I can tell you that as someone who is a violin teacher who works with adults, you probably know someone who knows someone, but you may not know someone who plays the violin who's willing to play with you or who's at the right level. I think that it's a shame that there aren't more opportunities for amateur players in the classical world to play together, but it is what it is. And that's too bad because children that are learning instruments have a ton of different options when it comes to playing in ensembles. There are generally different community classes of all sorts of levels and that accept all sorts of different ages as well. And playing music together is a super important part of growing up for anyone who is a musician. In my experience, all of our studio classes and group classes and orchestra rehearsals and band and all of that were some of my best memories and how I made all of my friends that I keep in touch with to this day. When we look at other hobbies or activities, I think there's a lot more opportunities for amateur players, be it adult softball leagues or stuff like that, that caters more to the adult amateur demographic. Luckily now, and with the rise of online learning opportunities, there's a lot more out there than there used to be. That's something that I'm passionate about trying to create as well as an educator and someone that works with adult violinists through this podcast and through YouTube tutorials and different workshops that I teach. And as good as those are and as important as that is, I don't think it replaces being able to actually play with someone in person in the same room. So let's take a look at some of the opportunities that do exist. And perhaps those could be a good option for you depending on your level or your interests. And if not, we'll talk about different ways that you can seek them out as even a beginner player, even if you just have a few months of experience. When I think of an amateur ensemble for violinists that play classical music, I immediately think a community orchestra. Community orchestras are fantastic. They're generally just an orchestra that's made up of amateur players. The problem, though, is that from my experience and the ones that I'm familiar with in the States and in Canada, they tend to be for really advanced amateur players or, you know, middle, intermediate to advanced. They're typically playing high-level repertoire, almost professional repertoire, but with non-professional players. So the pace is going to be less intense, but it's still pretty hard music. And in my experience from my students that are in or that were in community orchestra, they are really advanced players, and they even had to spend a lot of time practicing, a lot of private lessons to be able to play through the repertoire at the level that they wanted to. So if you're an advanced violinist, 100% seek that out, especially if you're in a big city. There's probably going to be at least one community orchestra. I know that in Montreal, for instance, there are at least two that I'm aware of that I've had students participate in. But if you are not at that level, or if you don't live in a major city, you're kind of out of luck for that. So the other thing that I can recommend, which again, I think is easier to find if you're in a larger metropolitan area, but maybe don't have that same level are sessions. By session, I mean like a jam session. This is something that I personally don't have a ton of experience with because I'm more of a classical player, but I've worked with a lot of violinists over the years that do play some folk music, and they might go to a bluegrass session or a fiddle session, and they'll go and play music with others. And generally, this is a lot more beginner friendly. You can find those generally on Facebook or just by Googling different events in your area. They often happen in pubs or sometimes in venues as well. And I think they're a great way of meeting people and playing with other people that are of a similar level. A lot of times too, they'll have some that are geared specifically to beginners as well. So again, community orchestras and jam sessions, two great options, but they might not work for everyone just because of location. So if you're not someone that can fit into either of those categories, or maybe you don't live in an area that has a lot going on, then you're going to have to be a little bit more entrepreneurial. And I think that it is worth trying to create your own ensemble or band or group to play with, again, to get those benefits and to find enjoyment in playing with others, even if we don't have any formal avenues for that. The student of mine that's been super successful with that is my former student, Jamie, who was on last episode to share her experiences with how she went from being a total beginner musician, having only played for a few months, to playing her first live concert with a band on stage in her first year. And then later on, a few years when she had a bit more experience, she actually recorded on an album with someone some original music. And that was just a fantastic set of skills for her to build and just a really cool way of sharing music and meeting other people. And that's what I want for literally all of my students and all of my listeners too, because again, it's such a fun thing to do. And I think that there is a process for doing that. So let me share a few ideas for you if that's something that you're interested in doing. My number one piece of advice for finding people to play with is to focus on finding people and not the right instruments. I think we can get really caught up in trying to play a certain piece in just the right way with the right instrumentation. And by instrumentation, I just mean the correct instruments for the piece of music that we're trying to play. So if you're trying to play a string quartet, finding another violinist, another violist, and another cellist, which if you're, you know, in high school and you're in high school orchestra, you've got a whole bunch of those people at your disposal. But if you are a young professional or a retiree or, you know, whatever you are, whatever demographic category that you fit into, you probably don't know someone personally, or maybe you do, but they might not be the right level. It's just not an easy thing to find. But what's a lot easier to find, though, is someone that can strum a guitar or play some piano, or maybe plays another instrument like the saxophone or the flute or the trumpet, but just someone that has the right mindset and that would be willing to play with you and be a little bit creative in adapting instrumentation. My second piece of advice for finding someone to play with you is to find someone who is a better musician than you and is nice. Because first of all, I think that one's self-explanatory. It's going to help with nerves if there's someone that's supportive and that knows that you're a beginner or an intermediate player, isn't going to put you down for not knowing certain skills, and is going to be patient as you kind of figure out the whole ensemble setting. And the other part of that is finding someone that's just slightly ahead of you, that has maybe a better sense of rhythm or a bit more experience playing with others. That person is really going to help you not necessarily as a mentor, but just someone that you can kind of lock in with and copy. And at least in my experience, that's how I learned best growing up and playing with others, is just surrounding yourself with people that have slightly higher levels of skills and experience with you. I'll give you an example. Growing up and playing Suzuki violin, my teacher would actually have a group class on weekends where all of his students would actually play together. And when I say his entire studio, I mean like the 5-year-old all the way to the 15, 16-year-olds. And I was with this teacher for a long time, close to a decade. So I got to experience both sides of things. And when you were younger, it was really cool to have those more experienced older kids to look up to. And they were super impressive. They'd show off their skills, and you just kind of learn and watch and challenge yourself to be just like them. And when you were the older kids, you felt really proud being able to lay down a solid foundation. You could play the harder parts and the kids would look up to you. And as adults, I think that age is not going to be a factor in that anymore, but experience will still be in a very similar way. When you're a beginner playing with someone that's more advanced, they're going to be able to kind of lead the path for you and lead the way, maybe even mentor you if it's someone that you're close to and just helping you build those skills. And don't worry, because if you're picking the right music, playing with someone that's more advanced is not necessarily going to be very boring for them, because at the end of the day, musicians like to play music. Once you've found your person to play with or your group of people, they may not be what we think of as like a traditional accompanist. So maybe you don't have someone that plays the piano, although I would say that is ideal because there's a ton of music that you can play with piano. But maybe it's a guitar or, again, some other sort of instrument, maybe a harpist. You might have a bit more trouble finding repertoire for that ensemble. The first thing you want to do is go on to Google and see if you can find anything for a duet. So violin plus whatever instrument duet. If you don't find anything that's published, I'm almost certain you'll be able to find all sorts of different instrument combinations on MuseScore. So MuseScore is a software kind of like Sibelius, if you've heard of that. It's basically just a music notation software, and people will write their own arrangements and then just like publish them for anyone to try. Some of them are really good. I've used MuseScore and I've published things through that. I used to arrange professionally, so I have a good process for doing that, and my arrangements, I gotta say, are pretty darn good. There are also arrangements that are less good, I think maybe made by younger teenagers or amateur players, and that just don't have as much experience, and you'll read them and they're kind of weird and they don't sound that good. But honestly, that's kind of part of the fun once you have your ensemble, trying some of those and picking out the good ones from the bad ones. My point with that, though, is that MuseScore is kind of a democratic platform for people who are creating arrangements and duos of trios of music to fit different types of instruments. So check that out when you're looking for arrangements. Another thing that you can try, again, even as a classical player, is try to play some covers. Even if they're not classical, you're going to learn so much from playing with, let's say, a pianist. And if you can't quite play some of the classical repertoire that you want to play, you can start with a really well-known, maybe rock song or pop song. You as a violinist can play the voice part. Generally, you'll be able to just read that no problem if you purchase just a voice arrangement. And then the pianist obviously can play the piano part, or the guitarist can play the guitar part. And you'll be kind of rocking and rolling, and it's a lot easier than classical music. So it's a great place to start.
So I already know what some of you guys are thinking, and that is, that's all well and good, but I don't know anyone who plays music. Well, my friend, I can't really help you there, but all I can say is that the only way you're going to go out and meet people who can play with you is that you're going to actually have to go tell people that you play the violin, which for some reason in my studio feels very scary. I think there may be a lot of imposter syndrome around the word, especially as, ironically, as you get more advanced. I think people like to shy away from calling themselves a violinist, and I think it's completely fine and appropriate to qualify that with, I'm a beginner violinist, or I'm learning the violin. But you do have to go out and share what you're doing if you want to find people to do it with you. I don't know, bring it up next time you're meeting new people. And honestly, you'd be surprised how many of you there are out there. I personally, in real life, know 4 or 5 people that are learning the violin who are completely independent of my studio. They're just friends or friends of friends who are not musicians, neighbors, people that live close to me. I would venture to guess that you may know one person, or you at least know someone who knows someone who's learning the violin. And certainly within that, much closer is going to be someone who plays some sort of musical instrument. It's a very common hobby. So go out there, try to meet people, and certainly put yourself out there if finding a community is something that's important to you. So I wanted to add a little bit about how to prepare when you're playing with someone for the first time, I think this could easily be an episode in itself. I did want to touch on it here because I think it's a very important thing, especially if you are brand new to music in general. If you have other musical experience, perhaps you played in band when you were younger in school or sung in a choir, you already have a lot of those basics down, believe it or not, even if it was only for a year or a semester. But if you have never played in an ensemble, even if you've been playing your instrument for a long time, there are a few things to keep in mind. So the very biggest, most important suggestion that I would have, I think the biggest pitfall, especially in the instrument of violin, is that you need to make sure you're playing with metronome. Violinists have a bit of a reputation in the orchestral world or the music world of kind of doing their own thing, I think because we're solo instruments, and that really does affect our sense of timing and rhythm. That said, you may know this about yourself, and if that's the case, don't worry, hope is not lost. You just need to practice with metronome for a little bit. Even in a couple weeks, you'll be surprised with how much progress you can make in your sense of timing. So working on this skill, I think, is going to be paramount. Obviously, intonation is also very important when you're playing with others, since both of those things are relative. So if you play something completely out of tune, but it's relatively in tune to your instrument, or completely at a random tempo, but it's all relatively in tempo to how you're playing it, if that makes sense, it's going to sound okay if you're playing by yourself. But as soon as you're adding in other people, if you're a half step flat and everything, boy, that's going to clash. So just take a little bit of time if you are planning on working with people, and just tighten up your rhythm a little bit, work on your intonation a little bit.
But with all that said, it does not need to be perfect, because playing with others is how we improve those skills. Other things to prepare, I think more on the mental side, is to accept and be open to being uncomfortable and feeling very vulnerable when you're playing for others. If that's something that you've never done before, just embrace it. It's going to go how it's going to go. But once you start feeling like you're playing together and you have a little bit of experience under your belt, it's really one of the most enjoyable and rewarding parts of playing an instrument, is playing in an ensemble. Embrace the fact that you are going to be so nervous, even if you're really well prepared. That's just what comes with performance or playing with others. It's just the name of the game. So, again, you're putting yourself out there. You're going to feel vulnerable. You're going to feel nervous. That's normal. You have to just take a deep breath and go for it. Because the feeling that you're going to get when you hear those harmonies come through, when you're hearing someone accompanying your playing or you're accompanying someone else, is just magical. Let's end with a few takeaways from my former student, Jamie. I think the most memorable thing and the most important thing that she said in that episode was that musicians just want to make music because it's fun. And that's true. I think if you really internalize that, you're going to feel a lot less nervous of playing with others, because it takes away that pressure and that internal judgment that we feel. It's just, we're trying to have fun and make some music together. It's okay if you're not the same level as everyone else, if you don't have the same experience level as everyone else. Again, by putting yourself out there, finding people to play with, that is going to come with time and with practice. And lastly, what Jamie suggested and what I will suggest to all of you as well, is to say yes when opportunities arise. Even if you do not feel like you're ready, even if you are actually objectively completely unqualified, if someone makes an offer to jam with you or to play with you, just say yes and you'll figure out the details later on. Just start with a really simple tune. Hopefully the person that's suggesting has a bit more experience than you, so they'll be able to lead the way a little bit, or it's another beginner and you guys can just figure it out together. But again, I hope that this has inspired you to seek a community of people to play with around you in your space. And if that is not available, if you don't live in a densely populated area with many musicians around, seeing how you can actually create a community of players, because I think it's one of the most important things that we can do as violinists is playing with others. So if you try out any of these tips, or if you have found an ensemble, whether it be through a traditional avenue or something that you've created on your own, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email at violinclasspod@gmail.com. If you would like to follow along a written version of this episode to reference back later, then I invite you to sign up for the Violin Class newsletter at violinclass.co/newsletter. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you guys at the next one in 2 weeks.